Metamorphosis?
No, no, metempsychosis.
Metempsychosis.
The state that is that belong to the human soul that can.
That is a transferring from one state to another. There is only. It takes a great deal of pain inflicted upon another human being to create this condition in this being, to go from one state to another.
You mean from the state of being a man into an animal?
That takes a long, long time. Man is a creation. He's not supposed to go back into the animal kingdom. But the only way he can go back into that, he would have to do tremendous sufferings or inflict tremendous sufferings on another human being before that can happen.
That's because there's no soul lost. It has to, you know, has a chance again. Is that it?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned something. I think I heard it from you. About Yogananda, who took this man into the forest and met this old lion. Was it you who was saying?
No, not Yogananda.
Oh, some master.
And I told you.
And when we have it on a tape, I believe.
The master was a living master.
Yes.
And he took his secretary with him into the forest.
Oh.
And when he came to a little lane, he got out of the car, and then all of a sudden, an old lion came towards him and started growling. And then he said to the lion, "Had enough of killing?" The lion growled back. He says, "Now go on and become to your next incarnation." And the lion walked and keeled over and died.
And what did that mean? What was it?
He raised the evolution of the lion.
Yes.
By his grace.
By his grace.
Yeah.
To come into the
into the next body form.
Next body form.
But he doesn't come into civilized life. Mm-hmm. He will be born. That entity will be born in the most primitive form of human life.
Uh-huh.
Because he has to survive on that level first, gradually going through his evolution. So he would be born with the animal tendencies in him very strong, and he would be born very close to nature in a very primitive society. See? So remember, primitive man has children too.
Mm-hmm.
So how is he going to have children if they don't have these entity forces moving into them? You take the Yavaro Indian and the headhunters and the cannibal type people, they still have children.
Mm-hmm.
But their children have to come in from those particular levels. Now, you don't go back to that level unless you've inflicted tremendous injuries and sufferings on another human being, and that'll take many, many, many lives to do that, aeons of lives to do that, to go back, let alone transfer from one level to the next.
And this is metempsychosis, what you call it.
Yeah. But that's very, very rare, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You say that once you reach the human evolution, there's no transmigration at all back into part.
You can only go back if you impose agony or pain consistently on another human being. There is no way to go back except by that method. In other words, if every incarnation you decide to be a cruel individual, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 81 years, you keep killing, you'll keep going back, yes. Into different shapes. You'll be born invalid without your eyes, you may be born invalid without your arms, you may be born invalid without your feet. But if you keep it up, still as aggravating as you can be, with your invalid state still trying to do that, imposing agony upon others, it'll still take you a long time because the creative intelligence will still give you an opportunity in a human body form. Even if you're born armless or feetless, just like a little egg, still, and your anxiety to hurt is there, it will still have that opportunity, but It'll take you a long time before you ever go back into the animal form. You just don't go back into animal form that easy. You can come up from animal forms into human forms, but you cannot go back that easy.
Now this word cannot be misused for the word evolution, is it? There's no connection with that, is it?
No.
Well, we were just having a discussion. I wanted to make sure that we got this down for...
This is a transgression.
Transgression, that's the word. Yes.
It's a transgression of a natural law, thou shalt not hurt or kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transgression of the law of life. Mm-hmm. And if once you transgress it, you're given many, many lives, many, many opportunities. Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. When you have worked out all the possibilities of being human by hurting human and continue to hurt human, then you deserve the possibility of finding out what it is to be animal. Mm-hmm. You would not have that opportunity to be animal until you destroyed all the possibilities of being human. You can't go back that easily. You can come forward from the animal kingdom into human kingdom, but to go backwards, this means you have to exert tremendous violence all the time to warrant it. The human being has discrimination. He has certain force fields locked up in him once he becomes a human being. No matter how primitive he is, no matter what primitive form you find him, an Eskimo or a Hottentot in the woods, he is still a human being. He's got certain qualities implanted in him. But if he lives very close to those primitive lives, he still has to suffer a great deal before he ever can go back into the animal kingdom. Even a primitive man has children born with tremendous deformity, mm-hmm, that a mother will love and a father will have to love. So love is still permeating primitive men. Though their lifespan can be short, but still they are forced to generate this love. You see? Now their taboos and traditions are what make the possibility of the survival of that child. Now, if you were born in South America like I was, they take you the moment you're born and throw you in the river. And if you float, good and fine. If you don't, to heck with you. That's just how they live. Mm. Because they feel you couldn't survive in this world. You see, it depended on if you survived by floating. If you didn't float, you're not going to make it. The life is too rough for the survival.
He's speaking of the primitive Indian tribes.
Yes, I understand it. Now, there's one more thing that has nothing to do with this, but man's thought had brought in the mosquitoes and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Well, is it all right to squat them then?
Squat them?
You know, that plague me. There's still life in there, but man has created this life.
Yes.
You squash them, use DDT, or you love them and raise them.
Plant daisies so they don't come around. Shasta daisies.
Bill Johnson wants to leave and there's a car blocking him right behind his car.
Anybody got a car that can get it?
Your driveway here.
What color is it?
It's a, I don't know, it looks like gold.
Yes.
Several years ago, I was in an automobile accident and I suffered from several cracked vertebrae along my back. It's supposedly healed now, and sometimes the pain comes back with them. I've come and listened to you other times before in Charleston, South Carolina, and always when I come to hear you speak, my back really hurts me. Yeah, there's this pain. I wonder why that is.
He must have kicked you.
The president
was in the question. Well, how did you get into the accident?
was in a band, and we were going to play a job out of town.
Mm-hmm.
It was raining.
Mm-hmm.
Slid off the highway.
All right. The important thing is what happened when the accident occurred. How was your thoughts to your car?
Well, when we first had, when we first hit the tree, everybody else seemed to be a lot worse off than I was. I wasn't aware of any pain or anything, and I tried to get everybody out of the car and more or less get things organized. But then afterwards, I found out that I was the one that.
But did you swear a curse at the car or swear they got into an accident? Did you let out any hostility?
I was saying the Lord's Prayer while we were skidding.
But you didn't forgive the car. Did you swear at the car? Huh? It has to do with the inability to forget biologically. You are remembering it biologically, therefore it's beating you. You need to be recycled out of it.
When I was initiated by in Charleston, that's when it hurt the worst. You asked me what feelings I was aware of at the time, and all I could say was pain in my back.
Yes. See, the vital life current is moving through the spine at that spot to go up. And since it's in a state of shock, it's reacting back. We can cycle it out if you want. So, well, you want to sit in a chair?
You want my bed?
Bring a chair.
I have a question.
Yes.
If another
chair,
you said that fourth step, an initiate had to live a normal married life with their husband and wife. If their husband or wife does not go along with your beliefs, is there any difference here? You understand what I mean?
I am saying that this is a household study, and sometimes the husband may not accept what the wife believes, and what the wife may not accept what the husband believes. That's not what I'm referring to in the fourth discipline. The fourth discipline is just the married life in terms of the relationship in the sex life.
Oh, I thought you meant no aspects.
We're not interfering with other person's belief. In fact, if you don't eat meat, feed him all the meat he wants. Make it more comfortable for him to enjoy it. Find all new recipes. Give him more. I know one initiate. He's a colonel. His wife don't believe in none of these things. But you know, he can't get a better woman to prepare all the good foods for him. She makes sure that he gets all the nice vegetables, everything, place. But she loves her cigars, loves her schnapps, loves her steaks. So she's not changing anything. And he's not changing anything. No, we're not trying to create any imbalance in the home or forcing the other person into anything. If what they want to follow, let them follow. It's what you want to follow.
No, I realize that, but I just thought maybe there might be some type of a conflict.
No. There's no real conflict. You want to realize that you're trying to pursue a spiritual life and to help the other person. That's the thing. There, you have to realize that the next party is, he can't come along immediately the way you believe. And therefore you don't try to impose your thoughts upon him. You live your normal married life and serve him. And whenever he feels to come along, he'll come along. The initiate don't convert. See, he has no way to convert. All he does is try to bring love to the other person by the diet. It's true food, he can also bring love.
No, I have never tried to convert.
That's all right, sir. No, you don't have no problem. You're not trying to change the other person. If they don't want it, you leave them. It's all right. So no real problem. You don't have any real problem. Okay, friend. I want you to think of the accident and close your eyes and tell me what color you see. Okay, you're starting to drive your car. You and the friends, and you're going to see the entire scenery all over again, the rain. And if you want to go through the motions of driving it, putting on the brakes and skidding, go on completely and relive the entire experience. And all the pain and the shock, the tension can start to flow through your body now, right through that spot where the pain is, like a hot, hot heat, into a red garbage bin. The pain is coming on very strong. Tension, the crash. You're getting up and help your friends. It's starting to flow out of you, all the shock, the anxiety, out through that very spot, like a hot, hot heat, into a red garbage bin. And the Christ is standing in the room, and he's massaging your spine for the first time. And you feel him, the heat is going there, relieving the shock, the tension, the anxiety and the pain. And the whole scenery is now changing into orange. If you see the orange, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the orange spectrum of your mind. And you're going to relive the entire experience all over again in detail. And if you want to groan from the shock, the pain, let it all come out. It's all coming back out. It's coming out from the spine. The breathing is getting very deep, and you're driving, and you're crashing into the tree or the side of the road, wherever it was, you're reliving the whole experience. And you're breathing very deep. The pain is coming back now, more and more. It's very intense, very intense, very intense. And it's flowing out of your body now like a hot, hot heat from all the muscles in the back, out from the mind, out through the spine into an orange garbage bin, going out very fast. And the Christ is standing in the room, sending love, forgiveness, and healing light to you. And you in turn is sending love and forgiveness to everyone, the car, the rain, all your friends. And all of is it flowing out through the spine into an orange garbage bin. And gradually the whole scenery is changing now into yellow. If you see the yellow, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the yellow spectrum of your consciousness. And you're gonna relive the entire experience all over in yellow. And when I count from 1 to 3, the pain is going to start increasing. Very strong. The total memory of it is coming back. 1, 2, 3. Your whole body is starting to hurt in the pain now. You start to move with the pain. It's going to start getting stronger now. Your back, so you're going to feel it more and more and more and more. And if you want to groan, go ahead and groan. Let it all out. Let it all flow out. If you want to cry, it's okay. It'll come out. It's not to be ashamed of. Let all the tension come out, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the shock, all the pain is coming out more and more, coming out of the body more and more, more, it's coming out from the spine more and more. You're stretching and moving it. The nerves are relaxing themselves more and more. The pain is getting stronger and relaxing itself. Coming out very strong, very strong. And the Christ is standing in the room, sending healing light and love to you. And all of this is flowing out from your spine now, like a hot, hot heat, into a yellow garbage bin. And gradually the whole scenery is changing now into green. Green is health, new life, a new chance, a new opportunity. And the whole body is correcting itself now, and you're reliving the entire experience, and the spine is starting to be in a state of joy. Your spine is being adjusted now and stretching back. The shoulder is pulling back, the head is pulling back, the hips are pulling back, and you're stretching out, and all the pain is going out, and it's all joy in that area. All the nerves are relaxing itself. The body is starting to get joy now for the first time. The joy is coming in. All along the spinal cord, there's no shock in the muscles. Moving up more and more. Let the strength flow up. Let it come. Feel the Christ power pouring into you, healing you. Stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger, and you're being adjusted inside. And your body's being massaged. All the adrenals are being massaged for the first time where the shock is. All the head, the neck, the hips, more and more. And all of it is flowing out now like a hot, hot heat from the back into a green garbage bin. Gradually the whole scenery is changing now into blue. If you see the blue, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the blue spectrum of your mind. And you're going back, all the way back, through matter, through energy, through consciousness, through beingness, and the whole body is releasing all the tension and the shock, and the whole body is starting to feel joy, starting to feel joy for the first time. The whole body is feeling joy. It's rising up in the spine, right up to the head. The whole body is feeling the joy coming up stronger and stronger, coming up stronger and stronger. And all of it is flowing out from the spine into a blue garbage bin. And the Christ is standing in the room, releasing you, massaging you, taking out all the shock and the pain and bringing back normal flow, eliminating and dissolving all the conditions that interfere with the normal flow, strengthening and rebuilding every condition that is necessary for the normal flow. And all of this is flowing out now into a blue garbage bin. Gradually the whole scenery is changing into purple. If you see the purple, it's okay. If not, it's occurring in the purple spectrum of your mind. And you're going to relive the entire car accident all over again. And there is no pain, there is no shock, there is no tension. The memory is all releasing itself, flowing out, flowing out. All the pain is going out. And the whole body is starting to be in a state of joy. Coming back to its normal state of health. And all flowing out for the first time. All the stiffness is going out. all from the hips and the shoulder blade and from the toes and the feet. And all of this is flowing out, and the Christ is massaging you, sending you light of love and forgiveness. And you are sending out love and forgiveness. All the tension and shock is going out of your body, out through the back into a purple garbage bin. Gradually the whole scenery is changing into violet. Violet is the I Am presence, the God Self. It's starting to flow into you now, and you're reliving the entire experience now. Completely in control of the car. You're driving the car. You're back on the road with your friends for the first time. The whole body is driving. Complete, complete. And you're moving the body now. The body's breathing, and it's all the pain is gone, and the joy is coming in now. Everything will start to diminish. The car, you and your friends, everything will start to diminish except you and Christ. Everything will get smaller and smaller and smaller. The accident, the shock in the body, all get smaller except you and Christ. Everything will get smaller right down to the size of a penny. You and the Christ will start to get taller and taller and stronger and stronger. Joyful and joyful. Stronger and stronger. And the energy is going to come into your right hand very strong. I want you to reach up and take that little penny of violet light and throw it and see it explode into white light. Reach up and take it and throw it and see it explode into white light, taking all the pain out. The white light is pouring in very strong, blinding, bright, brilliant, healing light. Coming in the whole body from the head, removing all the shock, the paralysis, the brain fatigue, the memory, removing it all, dissolving it all, correcting the pineal, the pituitary, the medulla. Brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, the whole face irradiating light, health, the nose, the ears, the jaw, the lips, the shoulder blades, all in the neck, all the chest, for the first time it's loosening up all the tension all along the spine now, for the first time in the back. There is no pain, it's all gone now, all down through the hips. The energy is going down, right down into the hands now, into the calves, right down into the toes, and it's starting to rise up back now like a hot golden light coming up right through the toes, right up the groin, right through the spine, completely right up to the top of the head. Flowing up in waves of laughter, in waves of laughter. Your whole body is laughing for the first time. For the first time, your whole body is laughing. Laughing, and you can remember everything that makes you laugh. Your whole body, your whole face, and start to laugh. Let it laugh. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Have a good laugh. It's good to be in an accident. How you feel?
A little wider.
Can you stand up and see?
Remember that your living bone tissue is not like you see it after it's been extracted from the body. That's dead bone. Bones can change. They're principally water, liquids, even though they're a denser substance.
Tonight you're going to sleep good. You're welcome. So you see, initiation is very important at times, huh?
Yes. When I was being initiated, all I could feel, all I was aware of was the pain. I knew that had some importance. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank the Lord.
You were talking a little while ago about people, if you wanted to get them to do certain things, or you wanted to get certain things done, you asked them, like, for instance, you were saying about if you wanted to lose weight, say you're going to eat. Is this a seem to be a universal law? Is this a man's rebellion against authority, or is this man's rebellion against his creator, or what?
Well, the very first thing that man did was to, you call it disobedience. That's the actual principle, disobedience.
Is it seem to run through the whole
disobedience. Well, you know, don't you see signs today hang around in offices, when everything else fails, follow instructions. You never seen those little signs? Well, the following instructions is just learning how to obey. Obedience is the first ethical expression of the creative life. It's difficult to obey because when we obey, we think we are bogged down or shut out. When we don't obey, we feel we are exploring and becoming creative. But you see, it's by obedience one learns the truth. We are forced to open up higher levels of consciousness. And it's that particular principle that frees us from feedback or repercussions. It's hard to obey and very easy to disobey. The creative intelligence knew that. But how would he set this creation in motion if he didn't make it that way? It's necessary for us to disobey to start the whole cycle of karma. There would be no karma if we all obey. Right? Then there would be no need for a universe. If we all were obedient individuals, why would we be suddenly given a universe to come into play or experiment? We will all be with the creative intelligence, which is total obedience. He obeys his own laws. So since he obeys his own laws, there is no need for us to go out and experiment. But this is what he's putting us to the test. Go out and experiment by disobeying in order that you will come back to me through obedience. You first got to disobey to return by obedience. If you obey, then you're not going anyplace. Creative intelligence do that. That's one of the laws designed.
It is a law then.
Yeah.
Anato, I had a postcard in the mail today from somebody I hadn't seen for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
It had a picture of Meher Baba.
Yeah.
It just came in the mail today. I was wondering if you knew anything.
Yes, I've been to Meher Baba's retreat in South Carolina.
He's in South Carolina?
He has a retreat there in South Carolina. He's dead now. He died a few years ago. But he has a retreat in South Carolina. He's good. He's a realized man.
Just curious. What's it about?
See, all teachers are true men of God, you know. They have to live the thing some level and teach it. And as one teacher says, they can give you millions and millions of teachings, but if you don't live one of it, it ain't worth nothing. You see? The idea behind it all is to be able to live it. Living is the test of any truth. We can read the scriptures, but to be a living example of the scripture is greater than all the books that are written on it. Because Yogananda once said, if a human being could only live one verse or one line of the scriptures, he would change his environment. If you only took one single verse or line from the scripture and lived it and made that your mantra or your motto of existence, you can alter your environment. You know, if you live, let's take the one of the Beatitudes, just live one of those attitudes. Live by that motto. You can alter the environment.
Is that what Christ meant when he said that faith would move mountains?
Yes. by trying to live one simple example. You see, the moment you pick on something and try to live it, and it's based on the principle as you think that is what you are, we are constantly setting out thoughts into the atmosphere, and these thoughts come back to us, and they come back to us, we have to experience them in some form or shape. So as we sow, we reap. So if you're sowing goodness, you will reap goodness. If you sow anger, you reap anger. No, no. You don't get more than you can bear, and all these things come to pass, but not to stay.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just curious.
No, you didn't understand what I said. You don't get more than you can bear, and all these things come to pass, but not to stay. Well, it's staying only because it's because you need more. As soon as you stop worrying about it, they will cease to bother you. If you don't worry about the hostility around you, if you don't worry about people trying to be hostile to you, it will cease to bother you. You see?
Let's tell her about the day I decided that I was going to accept my work situation.
I'll let you tell her.
Well, I was working in Dallas, and I've been wanting to go out and live on the retreat for a long time, but I wasn't ready to go, or there was something going on. Anyway, I was in a very high management position, and I was getting ready to be promoted and everything, but I really hated the situation. And every day I'd pray, you know, that I'd get alleviated from the problem, you know, of the work situation, and I could go live in Tyler, you know, and be with the Danner, and I'd get another raise, you know. It was really strange. And so one day I just said, it was on a Tuesday, I said to my roommate before I left for work, I said, the only way that I could possibly know it's right for me to move to Tyler is if I get fired. And there's no way for me to get fired, because I was like almost a partner in the business. And when I got to work, I was really hassled that day by several things that happened, several people, but I just told myself, no, this isn't going to bother me. I'm just going to accept the work situation, whatever God wants me to do, or it'll be okay. Friday night, I came home just as happy as I'd ever been in my life, and just because the owner of the company had come in and wanted to talk to me that night,
oh, thank you.
To me, in these words exactly, you know,
thank you.
Remembering, and it was in my mind that I wanted to go to Tyler, he said, I'm letting you go. Like that. And I was real good friends with him, and I asked him, you know, I said, what, you know, why? And he said he didn't know, but he just knew that, you know, if something was wrong, and that I was just, the best thing for me and for the company, everything, was just split. No, Benny gave me a bunch of money to exist on until I found another job. He took me home the whole bit. And I asked him, I said, when did you make up your mind that you were going to do this? And he said, Tuesday. And I called Adana a couple of nights later, and I've been trying to find him. He's on tour. He's in Charleston. And I said, well, should I go to Tyler? And he says, yeah, I go to Tyler, you know. And so the next day after I talked to him, and all my things packed up, and that next evening I was in Tyler. And then it's just like a dream come true, you know. I mean, it all happened at once. But I think the real key to it was when I decided that I was just going to love everybody at work and accept the work situation and not worry about it.
Not at work, if I knew that I'm in all these other stages. And last night, where a man said, one of the, a person that might become an issue, and I said, and I've been living this since December, you know, like I say, and this man said, well, it's like joining the Moose Club or the Elks Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, now you know It takes a lot of control. I was trying to correct somebody.
That's what friends of mine.
Should you let that go by?
Another situation that came up like that.
I thought because you should, you know, explain that it's not quite like that because you'd be leading somebody, other people.
You see, the thing is this. Come hail or storm, lightning or dry weather. If he's going to be here, the masters will bring him. If not, they'll keep him away. We don't bring people, number one. We don't have to explain to them too much about it. If they don't get an inner experience from the masters, they wouldn't be drawn to it.
Yeah, well, I haven't been trying to make missions, really. I've tried not to talk to them.
I know.
It seems like people will try to provoke.
Right, that's all right. It's because this is one of the tests. This is one of the tests.
I took a guy from work, you know, who's been hassling me about it, to see a Dana when he was at my house. There was just like hundreds of people. He was just in total awe. The fact that all these people would come and see the data, you know, he couldn't understand it. You know, just the cars were parked out all over the blocks, and there was nobody talking. You couldn't get in the house. People were sitting out on the porch, and it was freezing rain. And the guy, you know, sat there, and he's talking about all this religion, you know, and he's agreeing with me on everything. And then a few days later, a friend of mine said, "Hey, I understood to this guy. I said, I understand you saw Adano, you know." You know, he's expecting this guy to say, "Oh, it's one of these." Yeah, I met the guy. that was his whole experience. Yeah, I met the guy. You know, and that was all he could get from it. So, you know. And he was agreeing with me about Jesus and God and everything and the masters. When he met Adana, yeah, I met the guy. So some people, you know,
yeah,
are going to get it and some people aren't.
But it's the...
No, no, you need that to gain strength. It is those type of confrontations that give you the strength. Otherwise, you will never get strength. How are you going to know? Now, if you don't get that kind of strength, how are you going to help somebody in that same situation? When you gain the strength from that situation, by living through with it and resolving it by, as I say, the Lord forces you to keep your mouth shut and just be yourself. Sooner or later, some people will come with the same problem, and then you can say, "Well, this is what you got to do. Keep your mouth shut."
I've been trying.
So it's not wrong to be silent, right? It's not wrong to be
silent. Well, silence is golden.
They just don't answer, right?
What can you tell them?
Well, you can
Jesus
ask a direct question and
you
don't know the answer.
Well, look, all right, what did Jesus do when he was asked what is truth? He kept his mouth shut.
And then I told her the other day that she had to keep quiet, you know, because she would get in the same problem I was.
Not really.
The thing is this, the initiate does not go out to convert nobody, number one. I know that. And he's going to be tested by the individuals around asking him what is initiation. But this is going to be his first time he's going to learn to keep his mouth shut. Because, you know, the hardest thing to do is to keep a secret. Or the hardest thing to do is to be able to say no.
So because he is forced to do that, he has learned a strength that he will never learn anywhere else. The art of saying no by keeping his mouth shut. Who is going to teach you that unless you're forced to live it? The moment you're forced to live it, you have learned something that is very difficult to learn from the books. So the initiate is thrown into that particular life experience to learn that lesson. That's what the masters are teaching us, how to behave. And they have to use these wonderful people with all their questions like harpoons and fire it at you like a bow and arrow, you know, and use it like a pincushion. And every barb is sticking to you makes their joy sweeter. But this is what they do. This is. Yeah.
Like the disciplines and everything, you're trying to make us have discrimination, and how discrimination is the will of God. So we're actually, you know, trying to align our will with God's will. And could you explain how that works and how the different, you know, the disciplines are aimed at getting us in line with that will?
Yes, the disciplines are designed to help us to realize that these are all opportunities to test our behavior. You see, here is somebody nagging you or pulling your leg, or they may be aggravating you. And you want to do your best to tell them something, right? But remember, I said, divine will is to be at the right place at the right time for the right experience. And the experience is neither good nor bad, but just to test your behavior. So you see how divine will was working last night for you? It was testing your behavior. Well, you learn. See, what did you learn? You learned to retain your inner composure and became a human being and not get into the frenzy like an animal and allow the animal tendencies within you to get aggravated or flare up and then become hostile and try to exhibit ego. If you are worried about storing up the in resentment, then you don't understand the purpose of the experience. The purpose of the experience is not to store up resentment. The purpose of the experience is to behave. Learning to behave. Now, you're not storing up anything. You're simply learning how to behave. The person can aggravate you and aggravate you. But as long as you know how to behave, they will stop sooner or later. That's the difference between the sinner and the saint. The saint has no magic, except he knows how to behave. And the sinner is one who is constantly aggravating you to the extent that he gives up in the long run. Now, it's like what Jesus says, they turn the right cheek when they hit you in the left one. In other words, we have to suddenly learn how to behave. We're forced to behave. If we don't behave, we don't know what it is. If we are so easily hurt by everything somebody says, then we don't know how to behave. We don't really have any strength. The person is aggravating you and trying to make you irritable by telling you what is it. They're forcing through their games They are making all kind of games to pick your brains or to ridicule you. Well, you know what Jesus said? Many of our friends are wolves in sheep clothing. Or many of our friends are sheep in wolf clothing.
You said before, we need these experiences to grow.
Yes.
Right? And we need these things. What happens when you don't have any and you beg for some? I don't see them. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I mean, they don't bother you. Is it because you're a moron? Well, that is nothing.
You see, you have already learned what is called acceptance. So there is nothing to test you.
But you've got to be tested in here. Well, this what happened to my karma?
Well, this is what acceptance is. As long as you accept, then everything is already a trial.
Well, I thought maybe I was getting, you know, senile or something.
No, no. Everything you accept is truth. You see, you're accepting it. You've learned to accept. You've learned to let God. You have learned to accept God's will. Without, therefore, you don't look at it as trials no more.
No, they're not. How can we grow?
You see, every ache and pain you've accepted. You've accepted it. Therefore, you accept it without hostility or resentment. And because you accept it without hostility and resentment, you are growing. And therefore, the optimism and the humor in you is stronger. The outlook of life is greater. So, in your frame of reference, you don't see no more obstacles. Therefore, you want more opportunities to go through. The others see it as obstacles, see it as tremendous blocks, only because they got hostility to this principle.
Well, I want to feel like them.
You were fortunate to come to that level of awareness already, so don't. This is what you were learning. Acceptance, surrender. Mm. You know, we ask ourselves, how do we surrender to God? But the surrender to God is the acceptance of His will in our lives. And that is, wherever the aggravation or the hostility is, we don't fight back. We just let it pass and flow.
Thereby creating another time.
Right.
Don't you think a person can accept it in one phase of their life, like in the illness that I've had, and I accept anything that happened to me, but this was an idea, and ideas to me are something else, you know? Mm-hmm. But I see you have to handle that.
Oh, yes.
The same way. Well, yeah. See, I didn't know that, because these were principles involved. Mm-hmm. People that had never seen you, that were ridiculing you. Sometimes you want to take take another person's part rather than your own, and then of course you get it when you take the other person's part, right?
Well, I think all initiatives go through some of that. Yeah, people just don't have.
But not only that, the reason you got into a problem there, number one, it was personal. Number two, you were told in the study group that when somebody asked you a question, you should never lie or ignore it. You should always tell the truth.
That's right.
And that's what started it. But you can be silent. He says you can be silent. Mm-hmm. So from now on, just be silent. Don't answer. Just...
You know that there's...
The Fifth Amendment.
You know that there's a thing called... Well, let me point out something about such people. If they're aggravated or hostile because you make a remark, number one, there's a saying in the East. Many have come to scoff and remain to pray. And you may have brought them for the first exposure to something that they may scoff and someday may remain to pray. So you might have done those people a great service of exposing them to one little calibration. Whatever that little calibration does for them, they may get down on their knees someday and pray. See? So don't feel that you've done them any injustice or you haven't done them any service. You have done them the greatest service, because how else would they get an exposure? But you can't expect everybody that come immediately to accept. It's not possible.
So while you get to know who you can talk to and who not.
Well, I thought I did before, you know, because I used to talk about the casing material. I could just pick people that I could talk with, you know, about these things. But then everything went haywire, you know.
I think...
Talk in the mirror.
Well, I think they have a very strong ARE study group.
Yes,
think,
it's very strong.
Yeah, it's very strong. Yeah. It's a wonderful group. But I think that there's probably a lot of concern now that it'll be divided.
Yes.
Yeah, there's tremendous... I think that's what the trouble is.
We'll get out of there.
It's not that easy.
Oh, come on, you can do anything you want in this world.
Yeah, should we get out?
Should we do anything you want in this world?
They told us that you
can't be
in too long.
I don't care what they say. Do not listen to a man whose breath is in his nostrils. Listen to me.
He went 5,000 years.
Well,
you remember when I told you yesterday about stay until you know it's God's will for you to leave the group and then leave. When it's His will and you know when you sleep, you know, you'll be led.
You'll always be showing
when you're coming.
Yeah.
You'll always be showing. Good night, brother. You know, you're fortunate, very fortunate, that God loves you so much, He's giving you all these tests.
That's what I mean.
You're flowering, Mary. You're not growing. Just keep on being sweet. I love that fragrance.
You see,
I don't want to miss out.
If you stay in a place where they all love you and never give you any static, you will believe that you have arrived. But then you would be like the ostrich with your head in the ground. The moment they start giving you static, you're starting to grow. That's why I welcome confrontations, involvements. The greater the obstacle, the greater the person. No obstacles, a very weak person. This is the essence of the spiritual life.
That's true. The ones that attacked and really want to tear you down is really only wanting an answer. They really only want an answer. They really want to know. And they're really searching.
Yes.
One thought. Isn't this kind of like what Jesus did when He showed how He was able to calm the lake? I mean, in other words, it's this mastering self-realization. Now, I broke a wrist, but for 4 months before, I felt that pain was metal. Mm-hmm. As simple as that.
Yeah.
It's not a physical thing. It is simply a state of mind. And if we project against us, it's going to fight us, and this is how we feel it. But if we go reverse, it's like he's skating, right? Using the reverse technique,
mm-hmm.
I completely relaxed. I saw myself completely still. And that wrist was in over 30 pieces when it happened. I knew that this, the good Lord, was giving this, it was proving it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no pain, and yet, boy, they were warning me there in the hospital. Oh,
when you get out, you're going to have been a worse pain for days. It's going to be, and I had no pain through the entire experience. Now, a couple of times it was just like a little slither. Mm-hmm. It was trying to enter, mm-hmm. and I just completely relaxed. And mm-hmm. it was gone. So, I think it's no doubt about it. This is proof. I mean, it's.
That is true, because you had the confrontation, you were able to face it and live with it. You see, that's where you get the strength. You get the strength from the actual confrontation. Otherwise, we don't have any strength. Now, if everything is going absolutely 100%, and then you start feeling, well, nothing can go wrong, and all of a sudden something comes wrong and really shake you up, you find your whole world crumbling all around you. You feel so helpless, so stupid, so useless, because you never had a confrontation. But if you let it flow and you face it, it works itself out.
I had, on Friday night, I left, after your lecture, I started to drive home, and my car was cracked up. I realized, I'm sitting here in the police car, there wasn't even a ripple. It didn't bother me at all. Today I got the estimate, it was over, $334 worth of work. And this woman, she was tight, she just didn't see the stoplight. And I was being too careful. I went to a stoplight to make sure I go out. And the test was really, I believe, it was to see how I was going to react.
That is what the whole thing is. You see, that's what it is. You have a confrontation every day. We all have it. But it's how we behave at that moment. That is where we say we have learned the principle. That is what divine will is. Learning to behave all the time. Because this is what we have to be accounted for in ourselves. This is what we got to live with. How did I behave under those conditions? You get it? How did I really behave? How did I react? Good night. Oh, lots of juice. Yeah?
Apple juice.
Marvelous.
Is that two currants or one?
This is becoming very current.